Good afternoon. Thankful to be here and appreciate the goodness of God. Thankful for your allowing us to be here. We've appreciated the time we've been able to spend here. We pray that all will be strengthened and blessed because of it. We appreciate God's blessing, your hospitality to us, and your kindness to us, and your kind words, and appreciation for us coming. We appreciate those things. We thank the Lord for the good food we was able to eat. I don't know if I ate a little bit too much or not, but anyway, it was so good and not easy to turn away from. I pray the Lord will help us all at this time, that I'll stay awake, and I guess if you go to sleep, you might be a little more excusable. But we trust the Lord will bless us all and be with us along the way. Okay, get up and walk around and shout a little bit if you're asleep. I'll add a little bit to it. I don't know if that's a good thing to always do, though. You know, God told Adam and Eve, you know, don't eat of it. And Eve come up with it, you know, don't touch it, too. We put them attitudes in there. But anyway, may the Lord bless us. We'd like to look at this, the thought of doing justly. Now, I'm not an English scholar, but the little bit I can remember back in school, and of course I may have some teacher in here correct me, and that's okay, but my understanding that little word do is what I would call a action word. That's one thing to talk about doing, but do is an action word. It's not a very big word, just not a whole lot there. And justly is not really that big of a word. But it has to do with moral righteousness. It has to do with fair treatment. It has to do with right and lawful. Not really a whole lot of words there. Just do justly. But those two little words have been causing quite a stir all across the land. And it seems that in order to accomplish that, it's just so hard for mankind to do. You know, you have ISIS right now, and they're going about and dealing with mankind and killing people and doing a lot of different things. And so you've got all these other nations trying to work with them and somehow just help them to do justly. You know, you would think, well, it's not that hard to do justly, just, you know. But you have all these big nations struggling and working, and you know, you have things like the Geneva Convention, and where, you know, and you have NATO and United Nations and all these people trying to get together so we can organize something and put something in place where that we can actually simply get people to do justly. It seems like a lot of times they're not getting it accomplished. And so you might begin to wonder, you know, why can't we just all get along in the world? You know, when you look at things, you begin to wonder, why is it so hard to do right? You know, maybe you're there and you're watching a little boy and he's hit his brother over here. And now he's got his sister down on the floor and he's kind of bouncing her head off the floor and everything. And so you come up to him with a little mic and you ask him, is it hard to do right? You know, why is it so hard to do right? And maybe he pauses for just a little bit and he just kind of shrugs his shoulders like, you know, I don't know. Then he goes right back to doing what he's doing. You know, and so mommy comes out of the kitchen and gets him and, you know, why it's so hard for you to do right? So she gets a belt and starts kind of working on him a little bit, you know, to give him some reminders and seem like, you know, maybe she's telling him, do right. And he says, yes, mama, yes, mama. She's working him, yes, mama, yes, mama. Then about a week later, he's doing the same thing again. You know, why is it so hard to do right when you seem like it would just be a simple thing to accomplish? You know, in Malachi, the second chapter in verse 10, it says, have we all not one Father? You know, that's a big statement within itself, because you find with mankind, sometimes it's always easier to do unjustly if I can somehow figure in my mind and somehow find a way to kind of humanize you a little bit so that I feel that, well, you're not quite human, therefore it's not as hard for me to do wrong to you. You know, you come up to Hitler and begin to talk with him if he was still living and find out with Hitler, you know, why is it so hard to do right? You know, and I don't know if he could actually answer it in himself, but he calls in himself and he'd probably tell you, I am doing right. It says, have not God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother? This is actually a big problem in the United States. This is actually a big problem in the world itself. You know, why is it? Why does it come about? Why do we find ourselves actually doing these things? Why does it seem like such a struggle to actually simply do right by somebody and do the right thing? But it seems like it's so tempting and so hard to actually do the right thing by somebody, and you want to twist it around and find some kind of way to actually misscrew it a little bit where that, you know, I've got an advantage. You got, you know, in olden days, the track there, they got, you know, they're weighing a chicken or something. So you got the woman that's buying the chicken. She's trying to push the scale up, and the man that's trying to sell the chicken, he's trying to push the scale down. Why is it so hard to do right? Just simply do justly. You know, there are some things to it. Why do we deal treacherously, every man, against his brother? You know, David begins to speak about some things when you look over in Psalms the 51st chapter, and we're not trying to find an excuse why people don't do right. But I believe it doesn't hurt to actually look in the Word of God and begin to recognize that, you know, why people struggle sometimes. Why they have to deal with things. You know, and David says over there in Psalms 51, and looking at verse 5, he says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So you see that man actually comes into this world with a problem. you know, it's kind of hard for him to do right when he was actually born. He was shaping in iniquity. No wonder he gets into so many things. He was actually shaping in iniquity. And then we want him to actually walk right. We want him to actually do right. You know, but the word says, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Just a little more than he can actually do. More than he can actually accomplish. You know, and I think about the blessed thing about it all. You know, we can look at it and just feel, you know, others are having a struggle trying to do right. But Lord, I thank Thee that I never have a problem trying to do right. In Jeremiah, the 17th chapter says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Does that cause you to feel that, well, there might be a problem? It is a problem. The heart is deceitful. Man is born that way. His heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Who can actually know it? And can a man even know his own heart? You know, and then when you begin to look at things, there are things you can think. You know, I've got it all figured out. And I know within myself, I have something about it that I can actually, you know, sense what's right. And I can actually sense what's wrong. You know, and I can actually look at it and make a right judgment. But you know, the word lets you know that all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. So a man is just standing there and seem like every man there is. His ways are clean in his own eyes. Yeah, that's justice. That's right. You know, and it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Then you have Brother James over there. And James letting us know some things. You know, and there's just a tendency that we have within us. There are things about us and just ways we actually go about things. In James, the 4th chapter, in verse 13, it says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Well, that all makes good sense. You know, just what's actually wrong with buying and selling and getting gain. But, you know, in the midst of it, we can kind of get to where we're not actually trying to do things equal. You know, you go down, so you're trying to buy something, and maybe you're just sitting there on the side of the road, and maybe here comes a man, and he's having a rough day, and he's got a little baby carriage or something, and he like, well, I need to sell it for $25, and well, it just ain't worth nothing. And you look at it and say, well, you know the man is pressed. You just tell him, well, I'll give you $3 for it. That's all it's really worth. You know, I can't do anything with the thing. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. That's all I can give you for it. You know, he needs the money, so he actually sell it to you. You sit there and you wait for about 5 or 6 minutes. Somebody else come along and you tell them, well, I got one right here. I'll sell it to you for $50. And he buys it. Well, what's supposed to be wrong with that? Aren't you taking advantage of somebody?
Yes, that's true.
Well, it's all right and just, brother. But see, buying and selling and getting gain, there's something in that. You know, when you begin to actually search it out, you dig back there and follow about Cain and follow some of his people. And I believe they were some of the first ones begin to come up with scales and meeting and different things about how you trade money and all that type of thing. And you can get in there and trade it this way, a little bit that way, and pretty soon you can start swaying it to where you're making more and more and more and more money. You can let that thing just kind of take you over. Just buying and selling and getting gain. You know, back in Jesus' day, he was talking about, and I don't remember just where the exact quotation is, but something about making the ephod great and the shekel small. And they had ways of just working things to where in the end, I'm actually taking from you and getting more gain.
Yes.
Just plain downright greedy. See, Jesus, he had a problem when he came over there to the temple. He said, my house should be called a house of prayer of all nations, but ye have made it a den of thieves. What were they doing? Well, people had to come there and sacrifice. Well, since they got to come and sacrifice, and no need for them to have to bring all that cattle, all that distance, and all that different things, we'll just set up booths here and there, and we'll sell cattle, and we'll do this, and pretty soon you just have an all-open scheme going on. The money they bring is probably, you know, the money exchangers, they're making money. Their money is not good enough, so we're probably charging for that. And, you know, highway robbery, you're going along on the road and your car breaks down, the same tire you could have bought for $30, now it's $130. Well, you're in a tight spot, there's nothing you can do, so it's just, you know, your loss is my gain. And that's the way life goes a lot of times. Finding out a way to actually take advantage of my fellow man. Finding a way to actually get him under my feet and actually keep him under my feet. You know, and the sad thing about it, it's a tendency. It's what I would call a humanitarian problem. It's not something that you can just reach at and say, well, you know, these people are that way and that people are this way. It's a problem for everybody. It doesn't really matter who it is. It's a problem for actually everybody. You know, the Bible actually talks about people that are buying the needy for a loaf of bread. You know, since they're in a bad way, since they can't actually help themselves, we'll just buy up the needy for a pair of shoes or whatever it is. You know, what does it matter? Over in India, selling little children for maybe a couple of dollars. Things that are actually no doubt going on in the world today. Injustices. Even as we speak, in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, you have a woman there. And there she's in a bad condition. Her husband has died. And so it says, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that my servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bound men. See, there she is, just a widow there. She can't pay her bills. Well, let me have your sons. I'll make bondmen out of them. You know, something there, just move right in. Take advantage of other people in their weaknesses. You know, it takes something as we go through life to be able to recognize that somebody else is in a place of weakness, but even as I see them in their weakness, I'm going to treat them right. You got Brother Jacob over there in Genesis. Genesis, the 25th chapter and verse 29. There may be a lot of controversy around this whole thing. You know, I think of it. I actually look at it. You got Esau there, and he's got the right to the birthright. So Jacob, I don't know how things went, but he had a hold of his brother's heel after he was born, and they were actually struggling right there in the womb. It seemed like they had some differences of opinion, you might say. And in verse 28 it says, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison. And Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage. And Esau came from the field and he was faint. You know, I don't know, but you know, maybe Jacob going down through life and they're not just little boys anymore, but you know, he's watching Esau and wishing, I wish I had that birthright. You know, that's why the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. But, you know, I wish I had that birthright. And I'm just actually watching and I'm looking for a chance that I can actually get it. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. I don't know about Esau's condition. I don't understand why he seemed to be in such a state, but apparently he was. You know, somebody might surprise somebody and say, well, maybe he had sugar diabetes and he was about to die and about to faint. You know, I don't know. But anyway, you know, it seemed like Esau was weak, and I don't know just what happened, but, you know, maybe come sit and Jacob feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint. Now, if he's saying he's faint, you know, is he really faint, or is he just talking? I don't know, but if he is faint, you know, and maybe Jacob says, well, you know, let me have your birthright. Maybe Esau said, well, no, I don't think I want to do that. You know, and maybe Esau faints a little bit, and Jacob waits for him to come back a little bit, and he said, you know, I'm ready when you're ready. I don't know. We can do some things, see. But sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. What's wrong with feeding your brother? Why do you have to take advantage of it? Why, since you see that he's in a place of weakness, do you have to not be able to refrain yourself from actually taking advantage of him? But see, that's where Jacob was. He couldn't actually deal with it. It was too much for him. You know, I want this birthright. And since I've got Esau in a place, now, after he's normal, he may not feel this way, but while I've got him right here, I'm going to take advantage of it. See, we can do that sometime. While he's in a need. You know, wow, he's got something over him where I can actually realize when I look all the situation over and when I look at everything over, I can see that there's really nothing else he can do. And where is your mercy? Where is your do right? Do you have any problems with that as you go through life? You know, it doesn't make any difference what people do to you. Now, I actually believe this. It doesn't make any difference what people do to you. If you wait around long enough, there will come a time where you can get some revenge if you want to. Amen. You know, I have an old saying that life is like this, that the dirt that's on the top of the wheel will soon be at the bottom. You know, and you might be David just running for your life, but you know, sooner or later, Saul gonna end up in a cave somewhere where he's unawares and you're back in there and now you have a chance to actually move in and do what you want to do, but will God be able to restrain you? There's Saul asleep. In another instance, not just one. You know, and the people around him urged David, you know, God is working something out here. Just go ahead. You know, I tell you what, David, I don't you do a thing. I'll take care of myself. I'll just let it be on me, so to speak. I'll take care of it. But do you have something in you that actually causes you to want to actually do that which is right and just? You know, and sometimes laws can be passed in the land. Man can come up with laws that are actually not right. The law within itself is actually wrong. It needs to be corrected by the Word of God. But even if it's the law for you to do wrong to your brother, can you go ahead and do right? In Luke, the 6th chapter, looking at verse 31. You know, it gives us something very heavy here. Something that you don't have to be a scholar to understand. But it says, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. It don't take a whole lot. You don't have to have degrees and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that you don't like to be kicked. So don't kick. Amen. You don't like to be stolen from, don't steal. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, and a lot of time we can actually understand what we want done unto us. It's just so clear. You know, we can just see it crystal clear. I see the light, praise the Lord. But why is it so hard to understand how we should do to our brother. In Matthew 18 chapter and verse 26. There's a man there. He owed some money. And his Lord came to him. It says, but for so much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down, praise the Lord. And it said he worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Do you think that's what he wanted? I believe that's what he wanted. You know, it said, do unto others so you would have them do unto you. I believe that's what he really wanted. Then you look down at Matthew, the 18th chapter and verse 28. He went out and he found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him. And he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. It says, and he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. You know, but I look at that. You know, it says, do unto others. What do you really want? He's saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. That's what he's actually wanting. You know, but when he gets out there, he's saying, pay me that thou owest. And you think about it, you know, maybe like a teacher, you know, there in the room. So she's telling you, you go there to the board, and I want you to write on the board 100 times, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. I want you to write it, and I want you to write it. You know how them teachers did back then sometimes? Trying to help you to get it. So he sit there and write it and write it and write it and write it. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Get up out of the classroom, walk right out there. Take him by the throat and say, pay me that thou owest. See, we know how we want to be treated. But we can still have a problem on how we treat somebody else. You know, but this is not a new thing. And like I say, it's a humanitarian problem. And if you begin to look back in the scripture, you can see how that, you know, God had to begin to make allowances for it because he realized, you know, that man's just got a problem, and it's not a problem that's went away just because we're in modern times. It still continues on today. So God says there in Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, he says at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this shall be the manner of the release. Every creditor that loweth aught to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact that of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Now this gets on into the 7 years and 7 years, and then you get into the year of Jubilee, where people, their land goes back to them, and their property goes back to them, and all these things go back to them. And to me, when I look at that, it's God's way of trying to just keep man from just triumphing over man. You know, and I kind of see it in my mind, the 7 years coming up. So, you know, the 7 years coming up. So I'm not going to loan any money, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, because, you know, the time is coming where the release is. And so, you know, it's going to bring, you might say, everybody back to zero. Or put you back all on the same plane. You know, and maybe 1 year, one person buy and sell and get trained, and he moves ahead a little bit. You know, the next year, and he moves ahead a little more. And pretty soon, everybody else is back there a little bit. And then he finally gets on up there a little bit. And he gets better and better, and powerful and powerful. And pretty soon, he enslaves them. And pretty soon, he's got power over them. He's got their land. He's got their houses. He's got their everything. And there they are out on the street all over again. And then God comes along with another 7 years or whatever. Bring it back to the way it was. You know, but it's just a problem. It's something that man has to actually deal with. You know, and there are a lot of problems that we look at today, and sometimes we feel that, well, you know, these things are just brand new, and these things, you know, I don't know how we're going to deal with them, and, you know, and I don't even know why people even think that way. But it's a humanitarian problem. Why we think that way as people and as individuals. You know, and until we can begin to actually lay the problem out on the table and begin to actually look at it and begin to actually understand the thing, that you know, it's not this people that have a problem. It's not that people that have a problem. But it's all people that have a problem, and we all need to help each other. You know, way back there in Jeremiah. Jeremiah the 34th chapter and verse 10. Now when all the princes and all the people which had entered a covenant heard that everyone should let his maidservant and his menservant and his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them anymore, then they obeyed and let them go. Just let them go, praise the Lord. It says, but afterward they turned and caused the servants and the handmaidens whom they let go free to return and brought them into subjection for servants and handmaids. Let them go free, but then he brought them right back under it. Same old thing, it's hard to deal with. But he said, let them go free. Let them go free. You turn over to Exodus, the 5th chapter. In verse 1, you know, when you begin to actually look at some things, you know, and sometimes as we look at things, we just sometimes want to cater it down to certain people and all like that, but you know, there's something. In Exodus, the 5th chapter, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that we may hold a feast to him in the wilderness. Let my people go. Isn't that something? Who you got? You got Dr. Martin Luther King speaking words like, let my people go. That's a problem. Same old thing. Humanitarian problem. Only thing with Egypt, you basically got whites, you might say, being slaved by blacks. Amen. Almost the same thing in reverse. It can turn right back around. A humanitarian problem. Anybody is subject to do something like that. It's a problem. You know, but until we can begin to actually recognize that it is a humanitarian problem. You know, when we can begin to actually recognize that it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps, then we're in a place where we can be humbled before each other and like, let us pray for one another. Then Lord, that by your grace and strength, we can actually do right. You know, and what we actually need is Christian leaders in the country, because Christian people know how to do right. You know, but I would have you know, back in the 1400s, before the 1700s, before this place became a nation, they had rules and regulations that only Christians can vote. You know, sometimes we don't know how to do right. Amen. Sometimes we don't. You know, Joseph's brothers took him and put him in a pit. His own brothers took him and put him in a pit. You know, but why is it so hard to actually do right? But if we can actually look at it and realize that, Lord, is something we need you to help us with, that we can do right. Be able to look at it and recognize that, you know, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps, and I have the capacity within me to make a misjudgment. Lord, help me to do right. In Micah, the 6th chapter, says, he has shewed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to do justly. See, that's a big thing. That's something within itself. Just simply do justly. And then it says, to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. You know, may God help us all as we go through life, that as we look at things, we'll be able to do justly. You know, there are a lot of things going on in the world today that I can't be in agreement with. There's a lot of things that are going on. You got policemen getting shot down in the streets.
I can't enter in with that. You got people getting shot up and people getting killed for a little bit of nothing sometimes. I can't enter in with that. But I believe that all of us need to stand in a place that by the grace of God, each and every day we show to those around us that we are somebody that wants to actually do justly. I think about sometimes, you know, with all the turmoil that's going on in the land today, of this against that and that against this and all the different things. And sometimes I'm maybe extra careful, so to speak, if I'm at a quick trip coming in and out, you know, hold the door for somebody, give somebody a smile. You know, I'm not, just in your own way, let them know I'm not a part of all that that's going on out there that's trying to overrun this and trying to knock this one down, trying to knock that one out. But give a smile here and there. Reach out to those that may the spirit of justice prevail in the land. Pray for me.